पिजन भला भा गिरिभर धारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचारी जामुना तीरा भनचारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी कुप्पी जन भालाभा गिरिभर धारी गोपी जन भाला भागिरिभर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीरा बनचारे जमुना तीरा बनचारे जया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी।
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिशिमार हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिशिमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीस टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, entitled Ideal Family Life, text number 10. Tribargam nati krichena bhajeta grihamedyapi यथा देशं यथा कालम् यावद्दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नातिकृच्छेन भाजता गृहमेद्यपि यथा देशं यथा कालम् यावद्दैवोपपादितम् त्रिवर्गं नातिकृच्छेन भजेता गृहमेद्यपि यथा देशं यथा कालम् यावद्दैवोपपादितम् प्लीज चैंट Trimargam Nachikrishena Bhajeta Grihamedyapi Yatha Desham Yatha Kalam Javaddaiva Papaditam Trivarganatikrichena Bhajata Grihamedyapi Yata Desham Yata Kalam Javaddaivo Papaditam Trivargam. Three principles, namely religiosity, economic development and sense gratification. Na, not atikrichena, by severe endeavor, bhajeta, should execute, grihamedhi, a person interested only in family life, api otho yatha desham, according to the place, yatha kalam, according to the time, javat, as much as, daiva, by the grace of the Lord, upapaditam, obtain. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari, a sannyasi, or a vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development, or satisfaction of the senses. Even in household life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor, according to place and time, by the grace of the Lord. One should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Purport. In life, there are four principles to be fulfilled: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. First one should be religious. Observing various rules and regulations, and then one must earn some money for maintenance of family and the satisfaction of the senses. The most important ceremony for sense gratification is marriage, because sexual intercourse is one of the principal necessities of the material body. Jan maitunadi grihamedi shukam hitu cham. Although sexual intercourse is not a very exalted requisite in life, both animals and men require some sense gratification because of material propensities. One should be satisfied with married life and not spend energy for extra sense gratification or sex life. As for economic development, the responsibility for this should be entrusted mainly to the vaishyas and grihastas. Human society should be divided into varnas and ashrams: brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Economic development is necessary for grihastas. Brahmana grihastas should be satisfied with a life of adhyayana, adhyapana, jajana, and jajana. That is, being learned scholars, teaching others to be scholars, learning how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, and also teaching others how to worship Lord Vishnu or even the demigods. A brahmana should do this without remuneration, but he is allowed to accept charity from a person whom he teaches how to be a human being. As for the kshatriyas, they are supposed to be the kings of the land, and the land should be distributed to the vaishyas for agricultural activities, cow protection, and trade. Sudras must work. Sometimes they should engage in occupational duties as cloth manufacturers, weavers, blacksmiths, goldsmiths, brassmiths, and so on. Or else they should engage in hard labor to produce food grains. These are different occupational duties by which men should earn their livelihood. And in this way, human society should be simple. At the present moment, however, everyone is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as ugra karma, extremely severe endeavor. This ugra karma is the cause of agitation within the human mind. Men are engaging in many sinful activities and becoming degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories, as well as nightclubs and other establishments for sense enjoyment. In this way, they are spoiling their lives. In all of these activities, of course, householders are involved, and therefore it is advised here, with the use of the word api, that even though one is a householder, one should not engage himself in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. As for those who are not grihastas, the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis, they don't have to do anything but strive for advancement in a spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification and simply be engaged in the advancements of Krishna consciousness. Only 1/4 of the population should be grihastas, and should be according to laws of restricted sense gratification. The grihastas, vanaprastas, brahmacharis, and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of civilization is called Daiva Vanashram. One of the objectives of the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish this Daiva Vanashram, but not to encourage so-called Vanashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. Tribargam nati kritsena bhajeta grihamediyapi yatha desham yatha kalam javat daivo papaditam. Even if one is a householder rather than a brahmachari or sannyasi or vanaprastha, one should not endeavor very hard for religiosity, economic development, or satisfaction of the senses. Even in householder life, one should be satisfied to maintain body and soul together with whatever is available with minimum endeavor, according to place and time, by the grace of the Lord. One should not engage oneself in ugra karma. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Adishatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, the discussion of the instructions of Narada Muni on the ideal society, specifically on the ideal householder life, married life. And I find it very just wonderful to just hear and go through these instructions. Especially because it becomes very clearly how in this ideal society that is described here, the whole paradigm is quite is quite different than the paradigm of life that this modern social structure, actually all over the world, is. We were speaking before about how basically we're wired by growing up in this, you know, Kali Yuga, in this modern world, to basically everything contrary to what it says in these instructions. And even coming to Krishna consciousness, we still sort of like have going towards the tendency of you know, to what basically we've been almost indoctrinated to do, that we have to make some sort of an appropriate arrangement for having a happy life. And what is going to guarantee that happy sort of life is that we have some sort of material facility. That basically we have to make sure that there is a comfortable arrangement for us to live and as well as our family. And that is very much wired, and even coming to Krishna consciousness and being exposed and being cultivating transcendental knowledge and devotional service, there's a point in our spiritual life that most of us come to this sort of like point of decision. And in general, it's a cause of anxiety for the devotees. I know, I have gone through that. I'm sort of still dealing with that myself after several years of being practicing. That this idea of what is that you need to have to be able to have a balance, or what are your needs, your psychophysical needs to be peaceful and being able to have a very progressive life, both spiritually and material, like that. So this idea that this much I need to be peaceful. And so when we come to the position of taking an occupation and being able to provide for a family, then in general, the tendency is that we start to involve ourselves with these things of this economic development. Takes so much, this economic development takes so much effort. And what I'm getting by reading this act is that the tendency for a conditioned soul is that you become it's almost like entering, like those sands, like quicksands, no? That you enter, it looks very innocent. It looks like regular land. But you enter and you immediately sink. But, I may be able to get out, doesn't look so bad, to my knees. And then you start to move. But then what happens, you start to sink further. And it becomes more and more, precarious and difficult. So becoming involved in material life and being in contact with material energy is a very dangerous situation for spiritual consciousness. So in the sense that once you enter into a contact, you can be very much sort of absorbed by it. And so that is the circumstance of material activities. It does that. Karma bandham means it becomes an entanglement. So meaning that one activity that you do creates, some sort of a reaction, and that reaction creates another reaction, and that reaction creates another reaction, and all of a sudden you are into this mesh that as you go on, it becomes even more difficult to disentangle yourself. So, and on the top of that, we also have this, wiring. We wire to try to enjoy the resources of material nature, to be the enjoyer. So the material world is designed that as the more you do, the more you become entangled on it. And we're sort of predisposed to, yes, I want to go for it because this is going to make me happy. As I do something, you know, I get something that is, you know, that is things that I need, things that will give me sense gratification. So we see that that is the wiring that we have. That's when we come to this material world. I want to enjoy. I want to lord over this material nature. For what purpose? To be happy, to enjoy. To enjoy because I'm recognizing myself with this body, to enjoy through what? To enjoy through this body. So through the senses, sense gratification, basically. And when Krishna sort of designed this world, basically for is a reform, is for reforming us. So having that type of mental or like a disposition of our consciousness of trying to enjoy the material senses, then the way Krishna arranges is that he creates these principles of religion that accommodates that type of mentality. So we have these four goals of life: artha, what is it? Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So these things are this sort of need that the conditioned soul has is being able to be fulfilled in a very controlled manner by these principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. This package allows one to, in a progressive manner, reform from being, you know, to having this desire to enjoy material nature, to regain our original consciousness, that is, we're not part of this world. We're part of the spirit. We're eternal living entities with an eternal relationship with God. And that is our position of happiness. That is our, you know, natural position. So, however, you know, being involved in this, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, means that we're still, you know, in this disease condition. And meaning that it has to be extremely controlled. When we're sick, and then we go into the doctor, and the doctor make a prescription, and that prescription have certain things that you can do. So when we're giving a diet, you know, the doctors say, yeah, you can, you know, like, I've dealt with that because some of my favorite foods has been prohibited by my Ayurvedic doctor. And not only that, you know, it's a shocking thing that some of the staples of ISKCON diet is not allowed for me. So, you know, so basically you're banned from the Sunday feast, you know, if you follow strictly, which, you know, sometimes I don't, to the, you know, disapproval of my wife. But it's very controlled. It's not that, no, you cannot eat. You can only eat, you know, this bitter, you know, beverage, you know, made of all kinds of strange things. No, you eat. And you can eat, you know, you can eat. You need some sense gratification, some sweets, some spices. Yes, well, it will be these spices, but this one not. It will be this sweetener, but this one not. It will be this foodstuff, but not these ones. So it's control. And the tendency is, you know, like it happens, you know, that experience, this experience of, you know, then you come to the Sunday feast and you see, you know, or there is Sri Rupa serving halava and gulab jamuns and things like that, and I can resist. You know, so you take it. Then it may not be so good for you. You know, then the reaction comes and there is something that happens in the body, and then that blah, blah, blah. And then you get entangled. Then it's more difficult to get rid of it. So similarly, Krishna makes, he makes this arrangement that is called Vanashram Dharma, that takes into consideration these things, the condition of the living entity, and in a very controlled environment, one is able to go through with this conditioning without basically, you know, putting yourself in a situation that will be unrealistic and unmanageable. You know, that you can tell people that are in this material world that you should basically be like the same, you know, lying in the floor like a python, everybody. No. You know, it will be an impossibility. People cannot do that. So there is an arrangement, very controlled arrangement, that take care into the material condition that the living entity has. So, but part of that control, that control arrangement, is these instructions that we see in here for married life. So when we present it, when we come to the position, okay, now from brahmachari, I'm going to get married. And then I get married, and now I have to start to think of how I'm going to maintain, what kind of occupation I'm going to do. And the natural tendency is, you know, well, you know, you need to provide sufficiently for your family. And what do you need to provide? You need to provide for the basic necessities. You need to provide, you know, a home. You need to provide food. You need to provide education. You need to provide clothing. You need to provide everything like that. And naturally, it takes economic development. Economic development for this modern world means, you know, a very absorbing sort of engagement. And it's just very easy. It can just suck you in. And you find yourself that, you know, you start to work for maintaining your family, and it basically will absorb most of your energy just working. And then the purpose of life will be basically is just working so hard to maintain some sort of a life status that it gets so entangling that it have no end. And it can happen so easily. It happened to any of us. You know, I've seen it happens to many devotee friends that you know, you get, okay, I can get this home, but then, you know, when you're presented with all the different possibilities, then you know you come to the book to the prasad table and you see samosas, gulab jamuns, halwa, potatoes, goranga potatoes, you know, and you go like that, and then you see rice, salad, and any sabji. Oh yeah, there's a little string beans, not very exciting, or like, you know. So then you look the goranga potatoes, and you know you have the whole palette of choices that you have, the ones that are very exciting, and that you know you're gonna enjoy very much. So it's very difficult to control oneself if one is not very strong. So when you go into the world and you see the palette of choices, especially in this modern world, that everything is based on sense gratification. Everything is like advertised that, you know, better for sense gratification. So now you have, you know, cars that can even drive for yourself. So, gee, I don't have to worry about driving. I just sit down, you know, and just, you know, the thing will drive me, you know, the new whatever, self-driving car. And now, you know, the watches. You know, now I have a watch that can talk to me and you know, tell me everything, you know, like, you know, so what time it is? It is 8 o'clock, you know, like that. Watch, why don't you take me to this address? Sure. Follow this and this and that, you know, that type of thing. So, wow. And then, you know, now I have this car that drives, but this car that drives by itself, it costs so much money. And then, I can take a loan, you know, and then get this car, you know, and then also can facilitate, I can have more time to speak with my children and things like this. You know, one make a rational of things, but everything has a price, and it becomes a more and more complicated matter. Because in order to achieve that, well, I can get those facilities that will facilitate so much my life, but to achieve that, I have to, you know, get this loan, or I have to pay this monthly, you know, overhead that is, you know, big overhead to maintain this big house that provides, you know, a very comfortable life for my family, to provide, you know, this big, nice arrangements, material arrangements, then I have to work so hard that I basically don't see the light of the sun. Basically. I mean, I sometimes was thinking, you know, when I was working, most of the time you're sort of inside, you basically don't see the light of the sun. You just come out of your home and you know, go to work. And then when you come back, you know, it's already getting dark, and that's it. You know, and that's your life, day after day. So it's very complicated. It's what is called Ugra Karma. Ugra Karma is translated as extremely, you know, this extreme endeavor. And this is very easy, can happen to any one of us. So that combined with the anxiety that the devotee has, you know, how I'm going to, because of this wiring that we have, that, you know, these things are required, you know, the idea of having a very simple, you know, not just a simple, Prabhupada put a very simple arrangement for maintaining oneself is scary. You know, will I be able to survive with a very simple arrangement in this complicated world, this complicated society that is completely organized for, you know, sense gratification, and is is so focused. This whole, the whole focus of society is basically that you have to constantly be consuming. In order to self-maintain itself, you have to have a society that is constantly consuming. So you have to create the need of consumption. And you know, it's a non-ending thing. So today I have this nice computer, but then in no time, next year, it comes, you know, the best computer, the better computer that can have better facility, more power, more this, more that. And then you say, oh, although this was very nice and did everything I need, that one can do that. And then can do even this and that. Then I should get that one. So then, you know, what do I do with this one? So then you have this, you know, like completely crazy arrangement that, you know, you have this huge amount of goods that basically either goes into, I don't know where it goes. I mean, how many cars are built every year? And in cities, people, there's so many cars. And people, I mean, I know people who basically they say, yeah, every 2 years they change cars. Because, you know, and the clever sort of business people, they see that and they create these facilities so people can change cars every 2 years. Like that. So, but then what do you do? Okay, you have that car. Then what do you do with the ones that you leave, the leaving behind, and the ones, you know, it's just accumulating, you know, more and more and more and more and more. Telephones, you know, like that. You know, you have a great telephone, but next year they have the next one. And this year, every year they have a new version that is better. So technology is designed for that. People are basically, the occupation, instead of making better facilities for people to just be peaceful, you endeavor is for people to have, you know, you can never settle into something. You need something else. So, you know, it's to agitate. Prabhupada says in the purport that the purpose, you know, this whole modern wars simply to agitate people's mind. You can't be settled and peaceful. You always agitated. And that's what we're facing off. You know, that's the world that we are right now. As devotees, you know, we sometimes are faced with also, you know, some doubts and fears. You know, this sounds fantastic. This sounds wonderful. This ideal sounds amazing. But how am I able to do it realistically? Can I have a simple life? Can I have a simple arrangement in this world when I be completely, you know, eaten away? I mean, I know just simply to think like that, well, what about my family member will think I'm crazy or I'm some sort of a, you know, unbalanced person. You know, if I say, you know, that my goal in life is not to have, you know, all these facilities that everybody has. And my goal of life is not to work very hard. To say, well, that's the definition of a lazy person. You know, like a loser. You know, like that's not what we taught you when you were, you know, that what our parents will say. That's not the principles. That's not the things that we taught you. We taught you to work hard. You know, how are you going to provide your children if you don't work hard and make, you know, good money and have a, you know, safe net? You be considered by society, you know, a completely, like, irresponsible person, an irresponsible member of society, someone who is even a bit dangerous, this mentality, you know, irresponsible, criminal sometimes, maybe, you know. There has been situations, I remember that in the past, devotees were questioned about how they bringing up the children, because people will appall. They were like, how can you make children wake up at 3 a.m? That's criminal. That's you know, child abuse. Basically, people were like, you make them, you know, wake up, you know, 3:30 in the morning, 4 a.m, and make them, you know, just come to a temple like that, and you know, it's child abuse like that. So we are in that type of society, and we have to deal sometimes also with that, you know, that we've been basically growing in this society and more or less wired with this society, these principles. And we have doubts sometimes how I'm going to achieve that. But it is achievable. It is achievable. We have examples in our society. Like I was sharing with Manoj Prabhu, he was telling me about his parents that are, you know, sort of inspirational for him in terms of also, I mean, sorry to put you as an example, but it's very relevant because, you know, here's a young man who is considering also, you know, his future and thinking, you know, trying to figure it out how you're going to maintain yourself and maintain a family. But he had the example of his family that basically were able to give him, you know, a wholesome life, maintaining a very simple arrangement of being temple devotees throughout the whole life. So it's possible, you know. And, you know, now you have such a, you know, the fruit, you know, I mean, I don't know his parents, but I can appreciate very much his parents because I appreciate the fruit. So, and so you get the opportunity. And then now he's thinking, you know, like responsibly, but also he wants, like his parents, to provide a simple life. You know, he's thinking, it has to be sufficient, but it cannot, you know, it has to be just simple. I'm not looking for, you know, okay, now I have to have this career that can make this much money, which career can make the better living facilities for me and my family. Because I don't want to entangle myself so much on all these networks of things just to achieve that. So, that is the principle that we receive as devotees. Simple. Simple, and we have to have faith because the principle is this daiva. Daiva. Daiva means by the grace of the Lord. Because when we act in this network that the Lord arranged for us, control network of, you know, devotional life, then we are completely under the mercy of the Lord. And we have to have faith in that principle. We follow the instructions, will be provided. Everything will be provided. You know, one of my inspirations, or, you know, that makes my faith, you know, be stronger, when I see, you know, one of the persons that I admire and, you know, is my good friend and God brother, and also that he have a relationship with all of you, is Nityananda Prana and Hemangi, Nityananda Prana Prabhu. His example is, I talked to him about it, and one of the things that I remember he says to me is that, well, one thing that I admired very much is that he took the jump of quitting his job and with a family and a child, a small child, you know, he took the step to quitting his good job. He had a very good job, you know, that he could provide very nicely for his family, material facilities. He quit that and put himself in a position of working full-time for the temple as a temple president, which is, you know, a thankless task, you know. And Krishna, I'm in the hands of Krishna. He told me that since he did that, he had less financial worries that he had before. And one of the anxieties that they have, I mean, it hasn't been free of anxiety, and was how to provide for the little child, for Prahlad, especially the education part. And they have to deal with that anxiety. But they carry on the duties, the service, they control, you know, this whole arrangement. And the result is that this child is brilliant. I mean, we have, you know, the experience of dealing with this 11-year-old that, you know, is, you have to, you know, you offer obeisances, touch his feet, you know, I mean, is out there. And we deal with children ourselves. The comparison of the level of maturity of Prahlad Nrisimha with other children of his age is quite substantial, quite remarkable, you know. And so that's the result Krishna provides. So we have to have that faith. We have to have that faith, and we have to understand that, you know, material energy is a very powerful, you know, is Daibihyesha Gunamayi. It's a divine power that is impossible for us to face. So meaning that you're putting yourself to move within a very powerful, powerful, powerful energy. And you have to be very careful. It's like, I imagine, you know, people who their job is to train and work with, you know, big, you know, creatures like lions and tigers. So that's their job. And, you know, they put their head, you know, in the mouth of the lion and things like that, you know, in the circus and things like that. So, however, I mean, you have to be so controlled. You know that any little thing, this creature is so powerful that can cross you, you know, in no time. So we're working with a very powerful, you know, energy that we have to be so on the top of our game to be able to deal with that properly without being sucked in and basically put in a situation that you just don't see the end of the tunnel. How do you say? The light at the end of the tunnel. You just, you know, it's like, and it sucks your energy. Then what happened? That you basically don't have mental strength to perform devotional service. It's so hard in terms of your consciousness that, you know, that basically what you're thinking, I just need a break. I just need to set, to relax. And then how people relax? Well, you have to do something that is basically that the less you it's like sleeping. So people, you know, it is a sleeping or do something that is basically brainless, that you don't use your brain, that you sit in front of a TV, you know, that or watch a, you know, wait, you spend 3 hours watching a movie. You know that you, there's nothing working, you know, like that. It's just you seeing images, you know. So just basically to take a break out of the whole anguish of, you know, competing out there. And then at any time you have the anxiety that just people can just, you know, things change and you lose, you know, your situation. It's so easy that, you know, okay, you lay off and then you have this big overhead. How are you going to do it? You take a loan and now you're more entangled. You have to get even a more stressful job. It happened to some devotee friends, you know. When the financial collapse came, they lost their jobs. They have to maintain their lives, you know. They have to maintain, pay their houses still. They have to pay their cars still. They have to pay, you know, all the facilities that they have. And they take loans for that. And then when they get a new job, now they have to work double because they have to not only pay the lifestyle, but also pay the debt. So it's more entangled. No time for devotional service. So that is what we're heading with. So the clear instruction is one should not engage oneself in ugra karma. And that it should be very simple. That the arrangement for, you know, our life, the grihastha life, the occupation should be simple, and live a life that is basically that provides what is sufficient for keeping body and soul together. And the rest of the time, one should occupy it in growing in Krishna consciousness. That's the instruction. And that's how, you know, we have to sort of understand it. Very important thing for, you know, being able to function in this world. Any comment or questions? Yeah, back to Mahesh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering if you could comment on this extreme endeavor of people in society, materialistic society, and their lack of understanding that there is a God and that God is maintaining and can provide all the means and necessities for them. That they don't have to go through all this extra endeavor, but that life is very, you know, it can be very simple.
Yeah, that cannot happen unless, you know, one receive the mercy of a devotee. That cannot happen without transcendental knowledge, you know. And transcendental knowledge is received by someone, you know, the Tattvadarshi, right? That's what we learn in the Bhagavad Gita. That, you know, the devotee of the Lord. And so what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta say, that there is no scarcity in the world. The only scarcity is the scarcity of Krishna consciousness. So that's the predicament that the modern world has, that is devoid of Krishna consciousness. And so, you know, they get sucked by the material energy. And then, you know, in that condition, you know, we can discriminate. Because, you know, you take the transcendental knowledge out of the equation, and you have just, you know, an idea that, you know, life is meant for sense gratification. You know, what is wrong with that? People will say, you know, I mean, is it wrong to try to be happy and to, you know, sort of like, you know, be with your partner and, you know, have something nice to eat, some nice place to live? What's wrong with that? I mean, are you serious? You know, why is that something that deserves, you know, to be condemned? I'm not doing anything wrong to anyone. I'm just, you know, a hard-working person. The hard-working person, you know, who works very hard for the American dream is the idea of the society. The whole thing of the American dream, to be able to achieve your dreams. And what are your dreams? To have something, you know, to be successful material, to have everything that is required for having a very progressive material life. And God, what is God's part in this whole scheme is that God bless, you know, and provides and give facility for those honest, hardworking people who are trying to achieve, you know, their dream, their material dream, you know. So you go to church and you ask, yeah, God, give me bread. You know, give us the bread. And what is bread means? Give us all the material, the whatever I need, material facilities. So that's the wiring that we have. That's what's called the karmis. You know. And so that's why the great need of devotees and the great mission of the devotees of going out and giving people the opportunity to receive transcendental knowledge and then understand, you know, is it, you know, just it becomes clear, gee, this is not life, you know. And even if I achieve all this break the goals of material life, that doesn't make people happy. That, you know, there's no end to this thing. So then it becomes, you know, the sort of the light just comes up. You know, yeah, there must be something else, type of thing. That's what transcendental knowledge, that's what the devotees do. That's how it happened to us. Otherwise, there was no chance, you know. There's the contact with the devotee, and then you hear something, and there's all of a sudden, whoa, what else? And then you start to hear things, and then it starts to make sense, you know. And then, you know, you start in the process. But even then, it's not just like, you know, oh, I hear bang, you know, I completely change. We still wire. So, and we wire that, you know, the idea of dependence on Krishna is not, you know, it takes time to come to that position of full dependence. We come to be, you know, afraid of how is it going to happen? Is it really going to happen? Would I be able to maintain a family and a child having a simple arrangement? You know, I'm a little nervous. It happens to me, you know. But nevertheless, we see that it works because there is examples. The scripture tell us there's examples there of great devotees who are doing it. Through history, they are doing it. And on the top of that, as we do things, then we see Krishna's reciprocation. And it is possible. We see that our faith is growing every day if we do things right. If we follow, our faith is always growing. And every day we can see we become more, if we do, if we maintain, you know, if we follow. When we stop follow, then our faith, you know, takes a hit. And then we have to again start, you know, like, so. Jitendra Prabhu.
Speaking of faith, they have faith, but they have faith in the existing system.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody has faith. So divisions of faith. And then as far as dreaming, you know, they're dreaming of material happiness. They call it the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it. And then, you know, because it's a network of illusions, you know. And Prabhupada was saying to the devotees 50 years ago, he says, oh, you should come to Vrindavan, there's no cars. But now you go there, there's cars everywhere. I think in India, the percent, you know, how many cars they had back then compared to now is like, you know, many, many fold, like maybe 100-fold cars, you know. You know, there's so many cars in India now. They say Delhi is the most polluted place on the planet.
Yeah.
Even worse than places like China, you know. Which, with the Chinese are, you know, becoming more and more mad after sense gratification.
Yeah.
And then as far as car crazy goes, we say Maya Sukaya. You know, they build cars so they can get to places faster. But then, you know, they take one step forward and then they take several steps behind. Like, you know, now we have pollution, traffic jams, we have to build roads, you know, oil problems. So, you know, they're trying to go against the laws of nature. Whereas if they just, you know, like the Amish people, they still use the buggy and, you know, the horse, you know. So that was the simple, you know, simple living and high thinking, you know. But I hear that the Amish people are getting more and more entangled in complexities of material existence also. I read they had some cocaine in their buggies and their guns and, you know, there's scandals going on there because they don't have the complete picture, you know.
Mm.
So they, the young people are restless, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And then the leaders, they don't want you to have a simple life, you know, because they're, you know, they're expert exploiting the people, you know, through advertising and, you know, so much. You know. As Bhakti Siddhanta said, you know, Krishna consciousness for the simple, but not the simpletons.
Yeah.
You know. And then Prabhupada says, analyze the trap and get out, you know. You know, see how the modes of nature have people situated, and reflect, and then you know, come to the higher. Well, if you have, like you say, we have to have the higher knowledge from the, you know, from the parampara and from devotee association. But they don't really have any ashraya, a shelter. They have false shelters, fallible soldiers, right? And then. You know, we can't become happy in material life because we're actually spiritual beings. You know, we're not meant to, you know, wallow in this. And then as far as children go, it says that, you know, the children are like jackals and hounds in Kali Yuga. They're draining their parents' energy in so many ways. You remember reading that?
Yeah, that's, I remember that painting is always was shocking. There's a painting of the guy in the jungle, and then, you know, the children and the wife and the family members, they look like some creatures trying to hunt him.
Well, it says in the fifth canto that the forest of material enjoyment, you know, there's no, it's like the desert of material enjoyment, you know. So those are, you know, a few things that came to my mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Anything else? Krishna Arjuna? Mitch?
Good You were describing the society that's producing constantly new forms of technology that become very easily outdated, and so there's that insatiable thirst to acquire the newly created technological object. So one has to ask the question of how possible it is to bring society to a more kind of agrarian society. thinking one of the purports a little while back, Srila Prabhupada was saying that grahastas could do agricultural production. So I guess it seems almost insurmountable, this idea of pushing that technological production aside and moving the society to the position it was in. Perhaps even like 50 years ago, it was a different society. At least I'm aware, like Europeans will still remember 50 years ago cows and farms, and in fact there's a movement even in the present time in Europe to take up that kind of lifestyle again, going back to a kind of village life. So the question would be how it could be possible to push aside that whole concept of happiness, and that's what the structure of society should be, the production of technological items, and moving it more to a society that's just looking to live extremely simply in terms of just taking care of bodily needs and focus on self-realization.
Yeah, Prabhupada finished the purport by saying that's one of the goals of the Krishna conscious society, to create this alternative, the Daivi Vyanashram. So that's within the scope of ISKCON's, sort of big time, purposes and goals to create that example. That in combination with the results of this Ugra Karma is the results of Ugra Karma is a word that's been more and more full of difficulties and problems. So not only social problems, but also physical problems in the planet. So by the ordeal, the consequences of all that pursuance of technological development, that this Ugra Karma thing is, people will be forced to a much more simpler arrangement. And indeed, there's already small, grassroots alternative lifestyles that people are looking for. They're not mainstream, they're very small, but the mainstream is really not very much in favor of these things. They don't look, very popular. And however, none of these alternatives has proper solutions, They don't have, it's not based on Krishna consciousness. It's based just on going into the opposite end, to a more simpler. But simple life, Prabhupada also said at the end, it was very interesting. I said, we want to encourage the so-called Vanashram with our scientifically organized endeavor for human society. So I understood that you can create a simple life you know, a Vanashram life in which, you know, there's simple occupations and, you know, there's these orders are there. But if it's not applied with how is exactly prescribed here in the scriptures, then it's not acceptable. The result won't be, there won't be result, you know. And something what Jitendra Prabhu was mentioning of the Amish people, you know, they have maintained, like with great determination, you know, a very simple setup in their community. But that's not helping, you know, the missing part, and the result of that is that, you know, there's the new generation is not settled. So they don't have the transcendental knowledge is missing. So, you know, the children of the Amish don't have the shield, you know, of transcendental knowledge to be able to face, you know, the world. So it have to be an example based on Daivi Vyanashram, based on these the scriptures. And that's what we're meant to do. That's what ISKCON is meant to provide. You know, an example of an ideal society that is based on self-realization, and they go like that. And that's, you know, that is the great responsibility that we have for, you know, for society and for actually, you know, the goals of Srila Prabhupada. So there is already, there's a lot of discussion among devotees. As a matter of fact, the whole theme of this year's memorial retreat in Gitanagari is the discussions of Daivi Vyanashram by the devotees in ISKCON that are the top thinkers on that right now. They're going to be in Gitanagari discussing that. So it's going to be very exciting just to hear, you know. And that's the only chance this world have. However, there's something that we can feel that at least, you know, it gives sort of a faith that is that there is this prediction that the world for the next 10,000 years is going to come to a, you know, golden age type of arrangement. So something is going to happen in the world that will allow Krishna consciousness to be the predominant religion. We don't know how it's going to happen. It's like you say, insurmountable, but it's predicted to be happen. So we just have, maybe, I mean, we won't see anything close in our lifetime, but I'm thinking that we have the opportunity to play, you know, part in history. Like I'm assuming, you know, the historical position of the fathers of this country, you know, when they freed themselves from the British, you know, empire, and they, you know, they came together to create, you know, the United States of America. You know, they were the fathers of the. So we may not be the fathers of, you know, the 10,000 year golden age, but we're the little soldiers, part of history, you know, so we have that opportunity. Anyway, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.